Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast of Real Recovery. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another award-winning episode of Real Recovery. We're so glad you joined us tonight. I am Bill Arnold, and sitting across the studio with at least the appearance of success is George Fraser. Hello, George.
Glad to be here, Bill.
George, I got some notes from last week, and I'm going to try to do directorial kind of notes. If you do a performance, you know, sometimes the director gives you notes.
Okay.
So I thought I'd start giving you notes.
Directorial notes?
Yeah, directorial notes.
Okay.
Here's my first one. Be more interesting.
Okay,
that's not going to happen.
Okay, let me write these down. Be more interesting. Okay,
is that possible?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, if that's not possible, then I can skip the next one.
Should I be smarter, too?
No, you don't have to do that. You are a licensed chemical dependency counselor.
Yes, sir.
So you've brought the brains into the studio, because I am certainly not that.
Well, I don't know about that.
True. It's true. And another thing is you need to listen to our guests. But I think that's hard.
Tonight it won't be.
Okay.
I've heard our guests speak before. This is going to be a great show tonight.
Okay. Well, there you go. We've got Donnie with us in the studio. We're going to bring him on in just a little bit. And, George, you know the story a little bit better than me, so give our listeners a little heads up.
Well, it's going to be a great story about Jesus intervening in somebody's life and the redemption and the forgiveness and the grace that comes with that. And that's what our show's all about. We're real recovery, real people, real stories, because we have a real Savior in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I love when you use the show title when you talk. I think that's really good. Really kind of good.
Well, you just told me before we went on to do that.
I said be more interesting. That was my one note.
Oh, that was it. Okay.
Yeah, that was my one note.
Okay.
Well, George, you know, on Real Recovery, what we often do, like every week, is we talk about a step in the recovery process, because Jesus is the answer, but there's also steps that we like to talk about, because they're the calisthenics, so to speak, of recovery.
Yeah, I like how you always say that, Bill. If we're going to get in shape, we know what we need to do, but we have to do the exercises to do it. And what the 12 steps do for a lot of us is help us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. They help us, they give us a guide point to access Jesus by denying ourselves. And on Real Recovery, we believe that addiction is idolatry, so recovery without Jesus Christ is still idolatry too. You might have a medallion in your pocket from going to a 12-step program, and they do some great work, Bill. They've helped people change their lives, but what transforms your life is Jesus Christ, and there is no other. It is appointed once for us to die, and then the judgment. I want Jesus on my team. I want him to be my Savior. And if he's going to be my Savior, he needs to be the Lord over all areas of my life, my chemical life, my sex life, greed, et cetera. We have the whole list. So we look at a step every week, and tonight we're on step three, Bill. And step three says we made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of God, who we understand to be Jesus Christ. And that is a big deal. So what we're doing here is we're not going to just give him our drinking or drugging. We're giving him our whole life. If he's going to be my Savior, he needs to be Lord over all areas of my life. What a tall order. I don't think I can go through with that. Well, with Jesus' help, we can. So that's what we're talking about tonight, Bill.
Well, we want to learn to trust him for the long term. We definitely want to say to all of the listeners, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to meet all of your needs according to the riches in Christ. So we also want to break it down on a 24-hour basis.
Yes.
And live each day out, live in God's sufficient grace, and that's what makes all the difference.
Oh, exactly, Bill. You know, and a lot of our 12-step friends know one day at a time, but they're shocked to hear where that comes from. Jesus said it. Bill Wilson didn't come up with it. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, for each day has enough trouble of its own. And it's out of the 6th chapter, 34th verse of Mark. And so we want to go with the Creator and the Source. And this isn't about stopping a behavior. It's about developing a relationship with the living God. And you can only do that through Jesus Christ. But here's the good news. It's available to everyone. He's knocking at the door. And in step three, I think what is really, really cool is we get to walk with him. We get to talk to him every day. And he's got a design for our life, Bill, that is so much better than anything we could come up with. And step three is where we really start to do this. We make the decision. Now, the old saying is there's three frogs on a log in the swamp. One of them makes a decision. How many are on the log? Well, there's three. You need to take some action here. So we have a third step prayer, and we always encourage people to get into community, Bill. We're talking about that all the time. Get into the Word and get into the church. Get a Bible and read it. That's a great place to start.
You lost me on the frogs thing.
Okay, there's three frogs on a
log.
I
don't know if I want to hear the story.
Well, you're gonna, because this is important.
All right.
One of them makes a decision to jump into the pond.
Okay.
How many are still on the log? Three, because he didn't do anything. He just made a decision.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. I'm supposed to always go to the lowest denominator in the room, and I forgot you were here. So.
That actually was less boring than I thought.
Well, there's a point. It's stolen, but it's good. You know, our prayers are answered. Our prayers are answered. Our friend Alex just walked in.
Yeah. Hello, Alex.
Hey, Alex.
But Jesus comes in and transforms us. He comes in and radically transforms us. I love the episode in Luke where Jesus said, "Hey, fishermen, put your nets back in the water." And they're like, why would we do that? We've been up all night, no luck. We've washed the nets. And after they put the nets back in and they pulled in record fish, Simon Peter fell on his knees and said to Jesus, "Go away from me. I'm a sinful man." He got a glimpse of who the real Jesus was.
Mm.
And I think when you are searching and looking for salvation, when you are looking for Christ, when you encounter the real Jesus, it's a traumatic experience. You know, when that verse starts off, he refers to him as Simon. Through the passage, he refers to him as Simon Peter, and by the rest of the Bible, he's just referred to as Peter. I mean, he had a transformation even in his name. And I think that's the powerful way in which Christ transforms us.
Well, you know,
and makes us new and different. Go ahead, George.
Well, I think we see that, sorry, Billy, in other ways, that there's certain meetings that I have gone to, recovery meetings, where people are offended by the name of Jesus. And by no other name are you saved, and no other name do you get a reaction like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
There's power in that name. And we see it every day in what we do. We're going to hear the story tonight of a guy where Jesus changed everything for him.
Nothing clears a room like the name of Jesus. You bring that up at a room and it clears. Because
yep.
it's the name is so powerful. Because you're right, George. It's the only name by which you can be saved.
It is.
So you bring that name up and it divides for sure. But I love it when Peter gets on his knees and says, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." And Jesus said, "No, I want you to follow me."
How do we get that recognition? It's got to come from an outside agency that we're as bad as we are. Holy Spirit?
Well, I think it gives you an opportunity to see how desperately wicked our hearts are and how sinful we are and how much we are in need of a Savior and how gentle Christ is and how loving He is all the time. And if you're in an addiction, if you are in a place in your life where you're depending on drugs or alcohol or pills or something to alter your mood, to give you a relief from your desperation, I want you to know that starting tonight, you can start trusting Jesus to be your everything. And
we can change our life any time we decide to go to Jesus. And there's a lot of God substitutes we have. Food, alcohol, drugs, money, and they're never good enough because there's a hole in us that Christ is the only thing that can fill it. And we're wired to be that way. So you can keep searching, you know, get a better job, get a nicer house, drive a nicer car. It's never going to be good enough because it's not designed to be. And when we come to that de facto failure, that's when the victory starts, Bill. And for me, I'm a long time in recovery, and every day I have to renew this deal. I have to get on my knees, which is really a privilege to access the throne, and say, "Give me the power, strength, and desire to stay sober today and to do your will." And the third step prayer is about getting rid of self and doing God's will. And what a privilege it is to be a part of that. It's not about stopping a behavior. It's about walking with the living God.
Right. So we've got a story tonight that, George, you said something to me a couple days ago, or maybe it was today, that I thought was interesting. You said if something about your program, if you work it, finish that for me.
When I work my program works.
There you go.
And when I don't work my program, nothing works.
Okay, so when you work your program works. And that's many disciplines that are non-negotiable. That is what is successful for you.
Absolutely. And what I would say is before Christ, nothing worked.
Right. All right. Sounds good, George. We're going to take a very short break. And when we come back, we're going to bring in Donnie, our guest, and we're going to have a great hour on Real Recovery. We're so glad you joined us. Bill Arnold with George Fraser and Alex on the board. We'll see you back in just a minute on My Faith Radio. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Real Recovery. Our show is about addiction. It's a subject that has broad appeal, hosted by two guys with limited appeal. Bill Arnold and George Fraser here tonight. Alex on the board. George, introduce our guest tonight.
Yes, sir.
Well,
the directorial question.
That's
a,
yeah, I know.
Yeah, and I just jump right on it.
Yeah.
We've got a very interesting guest tonight. My friend Donnie is here. Welcome to our program.
Glad to be here.
Donnie, you're not from around here. You grew up in Oregon?
Portland, Oregon, yeah.
Did I pronounce Oregon right?
Yeah, it's not Oregon, it's Oregon.
Told you, Bill. It's Oregon.
See, you owe me $5.
It's Oregon.
It's Oregon, all right.
What was your upbringing like? Were you a Christian upbringing?
One of seven children, perfect Lutheran family. We did everything right. We all got straight A's. We all did Little League. We all did the right thing all the time.
Wow. A perfect family growing up. How long did that last for you? Were you through high school?
Yeah, I was about 15 when I said, you know, Mom and Dad, I don't think I'm going to go to church anymore. This is kind of boring to me.
Were they okay with that?
Yeah, I think so. It probably bothered them, but, you know.
How come you didn't want to go?
It was boring. Nobody told me about Jesus. It was just church. It was religion.
Okay.
That's very interesting. And, George, you know, I had a near-perfect childhood experience growing up, which is today why I suffer from the near-perfect childhood syndrome.
Yeah, but you're coping.
I call it the performance syndrome.
Yes.
Perform, and then you'll be accepted.
And then one day you just wake up and you just want to jump off a cliff.
Yeah, there you tired.
Go. We just did a show on this.
Yeah. And jumping off a cliff?
No, we should do a show on that. I could spend a lot of time on that about acceptance.
Maybe a live show where you do
performance-based.
Yeah, I'll commentate.
Help our ratings.
You jump.
Maybe raise some money. Yeah. So you stopped going to church. Any changes in your life after that?
Somewhere around, I was like 17, 18 years old, people started, you know, this Woodstock thing, smoking pot thing, drinking beer thing in high school. A little rebellion came in. I was looking for something different.
Okay.
Yeah, just, yeah.
Sounds like you found it.
Yeah, it was a hole in my heart. Graduated, you know, number 10 out of 900 kids. Ended up down at Stanford University and discovered that thing called marijuana.
So even though
he lost me at Stanford.
Well, yeah, it's a college that neither one of us could get into.
Right.
I think it's in Palo Alto.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Tiger Woods went there.
Well, both my brothers went there, and because I always strived to keep up with my brothers for affirmation, I felt I had to go there.
Getting into Stanford's a big deal. So you had a lot of success.
Yeah, I was there when Kent State happened, was there for Vietnam. Joan Baez asked me to burn my draft card. I'm dating myself. Grateful Dead concerts.
When he said dating himself, that was a figure of speech. He's talking about how old we are, Bill. So
yeah, it threw me too, George.
Yeah. Joe Baez. And there was a lot going on out there.
Yeah.
So you're at Stanford.
Yeah.
And you're smoking a lot of marijuana.
Yeah. But going to class, still had this big, I was looking for something. I wanted to be an organic farmer in Oregon, to be honest.
Okay.
So after 2 years, I went back to Oregon. Lived with some people, kept doing drugs.
The dropout thing, was that Ken Kesey? Didn't he have a saying about that, about do drugs, drop out? Was that Ken Kesey?
Yeah.
And you did that?
Yeah. It's funny because I ran a restaurant in Bend, Oregon. We would go over to Ken Kesey's Creamery and buy a bunch of food from him and bring it back to Bend, Oregon for an organic restaurant that I ran.
I think it was him that said that,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Drop out.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So he's just right in the thick of it. All the stuff going on the West Coast. And you open up a restaurant. How did that work?
It was really interesting because now think about all the natural food stuff that's around today. This is 30 years ago. We had the barley corn cafe. We served alfalfa sprouts. The whole time we were up there getting stoned and loaded and all that stuff too. It was
okay.
The middle of my addiction was still running that restaurant, that whole lifestyle, alternative lifestyle.
Okay.
Eastern religion, yoga. I tried everything.
Wow. What were you looking for?
It's so funny because I knew there was something in here. I go out to Portland to honor my mom because she shared John 3:16 with me when I was like 5 or 6 years old. I'll never forget my mom sharing the gospel with me when I was that young. So I always knew I was going to come back. I just had to go through some steps to get back. I was always looking for something. I had some old journals that I wrote before I was saved about what I was looking for. Really interesting stuff.
Did your parents say anything to you about dropping out of Stanford to open up an organic restaurant?
They pretty much accepted think it bothered my mom more than it bothered Dad. So they were always loving and accepting in the middle of all my stuff. It was a neat family.
That is neat, Bill, because I would think at a certain level there had to be some worry about where you were going.
And they never expressed that.
But at a certain level, though, they're saving money on tuition, though, too.
Thank you, Bill.
Nobody's bringing that up, George. I'm sure Stanford wasn't cheap. So now we're back in working at an organic restaurant 30 years ago. And when do you start down a path that gets worse?
About 1977, I found this drug called cocaine. Everything I did had to do with cocaine. I dealt it. I used it. I stole money for it. I lied to get it. I would do anything, use it to get women, use it to do anything. It was my drug of choice. And 6 nights a week, I was hung up, strung out on cocaine, miserable in my life, and I was at the end. People started sharing Christ with me. These people, these hippies who had gotten saved started sharing Jesus with me. I go, what are you guys doing? I don't need this guy. And they just kept coming. They'd bring me sports magazines of these famous athletes who I loved. These guys are Christians. Donnie, we're praying for you. Oh, come on. It would drive me nuts. But God was working. I remember one night sitting there at 3 a.m, I go, what would you guys think if I became a Christian? I said that out loud. One night, I'll never forget that. I drove up to the hospital one night to check myself into the emergency room, decided not to go. I wrecked 2 cars all by myself, walked away from both accidents. God had his hand on me. So all that stuff was going on. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired.
So don't leave me hanging here. What happened?
I have a friend named Bob. I was the best man at his wedding. He was always a good friend. I was always welcome at his house. And he goes, Donnie, come over Saturday morning. We're going to have bagels and we're just going to hang out. Bob shared Ephesians 2:8 and 9 with me. By grace you are saved by faith. I think he was scared to death, but I went out in the street in Bend, Oregon that morning and fell on the street weeping and say, okay, God, I want Jesus as my Savior. Will you come and rescue me right now? I was weeping before the Lord in Bend, Oregon. December 19th, 1980, my life was changed overnight. I was working in a record store at the time selling tapes and I was the bong buyer. I was buying drug paraphernalia at that time in my life. Yeah. And I had to quit my job.
That opens up a lot of corporate doors, doesn't it?
So I'll never forget December 19th, 1980. So 33 years ago, I met Jesus face to face. I didn't meet religion, didn't meet church. I met my Savior because he came to seek and save that which was lost.
And you knew it right away.
I knew it right away. And I've been sober ever since. Because Jesus doesn't come to do things halfway. He's not a halfway God. He delivered me from addiction because that's what he's good at.
But
powerful.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're doing coke 6 nights a week.
Yeah.
Using it as the tool for everything.
Yeah.
And you just make a decision that you have the strength to face a new day without drugs.
It was amazing because it was December 19th. Bend is 3 hours away from Portland. I went up to Portland for Christmas and my brother, I hadn't said a word to my family. My brother gave me a Bible that Christmas. How did he know? My mom goes, Donnie, something's different. What happened to you? Yeah, I didn't go to a meeting, didn't go to AA. I had a spiritual experience that changed my life. And that's hard for people in recovery sometimes to understand because they go to meetings, but.
Yeah.
No, it happens. I think God can save us any way he chooses.
And Donnie's a great example of God saving, rescuing. That's what he came to do, is rescue the lost. And he did it with Donnie in a pretty profound way, because this is not the typical story, George. We've heard a lot of stories, and there's relapse and pain and all kinds of things that are associated with trying to piece your life back together. And it sounds, Donnie, and of course, I don't know the whole story, but it sounds like you had a lot of what's the right word I'm looking for, George? Inertia? You've got a lot of strength in Christ right from the get-go.
Yeah, it was I did relapse one time a month later, but the really neat thing that happened to me was a Saturday. I went to this place on Sunday morning called the Bend Fellowship, and this big man named Dick put his hand on my shoulder. He goes, Donnie, I'm going to disciple you for the next year. Every Wednesday night, that man poured his life into me. That really changed my life. So 35 years later, I'm back in Bend, Oregon. I hunted him down. We had a cup of coffee together, and he was sitting there with 6 men, and he's still discipling men 35 years later.
That's
big influence in my life.
Very inspiring.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. So you go from being a 6-night-a-week cocaine guy who's a bong buyer during the day in your corporate double life, and you meet Jesus Christ and everything changed, didn't it?
Amazing. I sometimes want to take it for granted. I don't take it for granted anymore. I can't take it for granted. He's the real deal. He He loves saving people from addiction. Addiction, like you said, is just another sin. He's good at that. He said, "It is finished" on the cross, didn't he?
He did.
He said, "I've paid it all." He said, "His blood sets the addict free." And that's what he's good at. I love him, man. I love him. I love him more than I've ever loved him. The more I know, the less I know. You guys know that. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just trying to focus on. What am I supposed to be more interesting and listen to the guests?
Yeah, you're supposed to be more interesting.
It's not working.
No, it's not.
Here's what's really cool to me is we hear a lot of stories, Bill, about, and Alex, about people that, you know, come in. My story, 7 years to get sober, kept relapsing, and the instant power of Christ, if you let him, will change everything in a blink of an eye. But how often do people do that, Bill? How often do we yield that? How often do we pick up our cross every day and deny ourselves? And I'd like to ask you, as a guy who's walking with Jesus and in recovery, Donnie, how you work that out. You were, you know, mentoring. You had a guy mentoring you every day. You're in the Word, and you're praying. Anything else you were doing?
The discipleship was very important. He said, start reading your Bible every year. I did that. I went to tons of Bible studies, saturated myself with small group and people who love Jesus. Those are really keys to me, and those have never changed. Here it is 30 years later. If I could tell anybody in the world, the most important thing you can do is just spend time with Jesus. Sit still and listen to what Jesus has to say to you today. Not for 5 minutes, maybe for an hour. And today, those disciplines are still very important to me. Reading, praying, journaling, soaking, just sitting quietly with him. That's a good formula. It works for me.
I heard you talk about soaking, and I've never heard anybody talk about it with that term. Can you explain to our listeners what that is?
It came out of some of the things I've done with Bethel out in Reading. You put on some quiet music and just maybe lay on the floor, maybe lay on the couch. You have no agenda. Could be 10 minutes, could be 30 minutes. Just say, God, speak to me. We call that soaking. We want to hear from God. You know what? He always talks. He always shows up because he's really good at it.
Mm.
We need to listen. Hey, we need to listen.
You'd fall asleep so fast on the couch, George. You'd put on your Yanni albums and you'd lay down and you'd be gone.
I just was thinking, I don't do that. Not listen to the Yanni albums and on the couch either. But I'm so busy, even in my quiet time, Bill, I got to kind of get through it and get my Bible study lesson done because I got stuff I got to do.
Mm.
I want to incorporate that in. I'll have to start with maybe 2 minutes, 3 minutes, five. But that's part of the meditating, listening for God. I don't do a good job of that. Do you?
No, it's not super predictable on my Android.
Super predictable.
No. One of my words for 2013 was be intentional.
I like that.
Be intentional, guys.
I like that.
I'm too busy. No, be intentional.
I can be sitting there praying, and 2 minutes into it, I'm looking and going, is that a spider on the ceiling? It is. I got to get that down.
Well, that's the old Father Martin joke. The priest tells the 10-year-old kid, if you can say the Lord's Prayer all the way through without thinking about anything else, I'll give you a pony. And the kid goes, Our Father who art in heaven, does that pony come with a saddle?
We're going to take a very short break after that punchline. And when we come back, hopefully our guest will still be with us because
he's going to the door.
He's headed towards the door. Listen to Real Recovery on Faith Radio. We'll be back in a minute. Everyone, welcome back to Real Recovery. Bill Arnold, George Fraser coming at you tonight. We're glad you joined us. Thanks for being with us. You know, there's two groups of people walking the earth, those who are wise and those who are fools. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:4, the fool thinks only about having a good time now. But in Proverbs 12:15, it says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. And our guest, Donnie, tonight spent a solid year listening to counsel once a week, and it produced wisdom, and it gave him strength, and it changed your instincts, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
Because when you have drug-using instincts, you always want to use drugs. Then you get the gospel, you get discipled, and you have new instincts, don't you?
You get a heavenly perspective is
yes.
How I like to look at it.
Yes, and everyone out there who's listening, if you have addiction instincts, God needs to dismantle that and help you get new instincts. Because he'll do that.
You know what it says when Jesus came to save? You know what save means? Completely save, completely heal, and completely deliver. It's a word called sozo. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we think it's just save. It means saved, healed, and delivered. That's, that has a little more power to it, doesn't it?
Love it.
Yeah.
Signed, sealed, and delivered. I like it. Yeah. So how did that walk out? You're working with this guy in discipleship. You're in the Word. You're soaking. You're doing the whole deal. You're being intentional. What happened after the year?
He laid the foundations. I met this wonderful woman, married her. We had two wonderful sons, moved from Bend, Oregon up to Seattle. Very active in whatever church I was involved with, leadership, discipleship, mentoring, coaching. It's one of my gifts, encouragement. Something happened about 6 years ago that really had an impact on my life. It helped me be who I am. In the middle of my son's addiction, my ex-wife decided to leave for a while. Mm. In the middle of that, my dad died, my sister died, and my best friend died. I'm at a kind of a rock bottom low again in my life. What am I going to do? Celebrate Recovery started at Plymouth Covenant. I had to run towards God like I'd never run to him before. Was really healthy for me to almost be desperate. I was really alone again, and that began to really help me at that point in my life is exactly what I needed to meet Jesus again in a new, real way. My theology started to become experience in my heart. I knew all these things, but I wanted to know them in my heart. I wanted to experience and have it change my life. That's kind of what happened. I dared to believe that God said who he was. Wait a minute, you said you could do that, God? I'm going to hold you to that. I got tired of religion, got tired of kind of playing church. I wanted something new, and God gave it to me.
Were you comfortable for a while? Did you kind of go into a maintenance mode for a few years?
Yes, I did. I'll be careful, but I got really comfortable in my walk, did all the right things, could say the right things, and even the fact that, wait a minute, you guys are getting divorced. You're the nice couple. My wife and I are good friends, so I'll be very careful what I say, but we've made our amends, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Life can show up on us at any time. We got to, you know, Satan roars around like a lion looking for somebody to devour. And my experience, Donnie, has been that for a few years in my life, I get comfortable. And somebody told me that you're either walking towards Jesus or you're walking away from him, that there's no maintenance here. Is that fair?
I like that, the way I put it. Satan loves it when we sit in our pews and do nothing.
Okay.
He's got us when we're comfortable. And we're not asking, we're not searching, we're not looking for something more. There's always more. That's what I like. I'm more excited about what the more that God has for me now. It's time for me to get outside my church. Well, I'm in church building for 2 hours on Sunday. How about the other 6 days a week? That's where church happens for me these days.
I like that. Now, you brought up Celebrate Recovery. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about Celebrate Recovery?
It started about maybe 10 years ago at Rick Warren's church out in California. This man who had been in AA for years and years and years, he wrote this 14-page document about let's take AA and do something new, and maybe we'll even call it Celebrate Recovery. And he walked into Rick Warren's office and said, Rick, you need to do this. And Rick goes, no, you need to do it. So it's 8 principles instead of 12 steps. It's basically the same formula, but Jesus is your higher power. And there's Celebrate Recovery meetings everywhere in the country, all over the world right now, but much, much more faith-based than AA is.
I love that, Bill. The problem for me with the 12-step groups is that Jesus is their higher power, but they don't recognize that. And the principles are based on biblical truth
right.
In all the 12-step groups because they came out of the Bible, so they do work. But if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're dead in your sins. And you might stop a behavior, but what we want to get out there for people is you have a Savior who loves you and has a plan for you and wants to forgive you and redeem you and sanctify you and glorify you. And if you're missing that, Jesus is the only place to go.
I have two really good friends, both been sober for over 15 years, and I loved it when they both found Jesus.
Mm.
They're hardcore AA guys, but when they found Jesus, it was just a wonderful, wonderful experience for both of them, and I still get to hang out with both of them.
Well, I'm sure you know a lot of people that are in the recovery community that aren't saved, and there's a tremendous harvest out there, isn't there?
Absolutely.
And so Celebrate Recovery talks about Jesus Christ as the highest power.
Yeah.
And they use 8 principles instead of 12 steps.
Mm-hmm.
What are the gatherings like? Are they meetings or how do they do this?
Basically a meeting. We usually have worship and they have a book with maybe 20-some talks in it. So somebody will always give a talk. And in Plymouth, we'd have a talk. And then the next week, we'd have a testimony, then a talk, then a testimony. So They rotate those. They read the 8 principles every week. Sometimes they read the 12 steps. Usually have fellowship. Sometimes they have dinner beforehand. But it's really neat time for small groups, for prayer, for just to get close to Jesus in the middle of your addiction.
What are the requirements for membership and
Walk
celebrate?
In the door.
Walk in the door. We could do that, Bill.
Well, yes, we could, George.
Do they have food there?
You mean we're all in recovery from something? Is that what you're saying?
You bet.
We've said that many, many times on this show. You know, the interesting thing about life and the tests that life brings is it's always an open book test.
Ooh, I like that.
So open your Bible, and when you're dealing with a test, you've got the book you can open, and that makes all the difference. And oftentimes when people get tested, they don't open their Bible. They don't get in fellowship. They don't, they're not accountable with other people. And I think that's where the enemy can start to have an influence of having people drift away from their recovery and their walk.
I think we need to listen to the truth much more than we do. One of my favorite sayings recently was, don't let the enemy write on the chalkboard of your mind. Erase it. I encourage myself. I encourage myself each morning. I need that. I need, okay, God, I can't get through this day without you. Would you encourage me today, God? I need your help today. My verse for this year is Daniel 1:8, where Daniel said, I choose not to defile myself today. I put, Donnie, choose not to defile yourself in any way today. That's my life verse for this year. Help me with purity and sobriety. I'm not going to defile myself with anything in the world. I read that every morning.
Wow.
That's I don't know how you do that. Because I, just driving over here tonight, I'm thinking, wish I had a battering ram on my car. Clean up some traffic problems.
And a better car, too.
Yeah, right? I'd have a better car.
You know, because that's what I was thinking for me.
Yeah.
So Celebrate Recovery shows up at a time in your life where you're struggling, you're hurting.
Yeah.
A lot of loss there.
Yeah.
How did that help you get through that?
I needed a support community who really loved me, who would meet me right where I was at. And that's what it was. And those are really good friends of mine. I had accountability partners. I had something new to hang on to. I had some place to go. I had a 5-bedroom house all by myself, 2 blocks away from church. It was just a neat, healthy place for me to be, surround myself. Who knows what I could have done without it? I could have done some stupid things, maybe even have a relapse. Not that addicts ever have relapses.
No, that never happens.
It gave me a place to meet people, to use my skills, which are leadership and encouragement and mentoring and teaching. I was on the leadership team. Good timing for me.
So you were struggling with some sadness, some loneliness. Anything else you were working on at that time?
I was working through some purity issues about lust.
Okay.
It's been an ongoing battle for me.
Well, I think it is for all men, isn't it?
Every man's battle?
Every man's
Something
battle.
Like that, I hear. And some guys are in denial about that. And I'm in the middle of my longest streak of purity right now. I'm just excited about what God's doing. It's just kind of a new lease for me. Something happened about 90 days ago, a new wake-up call to me. He's called me to purity. It's more fun than I've ever had. It gives me a real freedom.
I appreciate your openness on that. And, Bill, we both volunteered at the Salvation Army for many years. You still do. And there was a series that we talked about called Every Man's Battle that every guy had to go through. And I think all men, at least all men I've ever met, struggle with this issue. And in a lot of times in church arenas, we aren't comfortable talking about it. Well, if we don't talk about it and we don't own it, it's not going to change. And so I like the fact that you're talking about that and you've got some strategies and it's working. But we have to get to the point where we go, hey, what I'm doing is not working.
Yeah, and I always say this. It's not about airing my dirty laundry to everybody I meet, but I have some key guys in my life who I can trust with my stuff. Randy and I are going to have coffee tomorrow. Randy and I have coffee every week for 10 years. We used to lie to each other. Now we don't. He's my best friend. I can trust him with my stuff. I have another friend. We talk every other day about purity. I need those accountability partners. It's really hard to hide stuff, especially if you're a super Christian guy. You can be an alcoholic. You can be a drug addict, but don't talk about maybe lust and sex because that makes you really bad. Baloney. Jesus does not grade on the curve. Sin is sin.
The silence
for
both,
a reason.
Both thinking.
For a reason, George.
We're grading on the curve, Bill. We might pass.
I think the ground around the cross is pretty flat, wasn't it?
And that's another one.
Yeah, this is the Mr. Blinky show. We're all sitting here blinking going,
it's bobblehead night here on Real Recovery.
Who's going to talk next?
Gosh, I like this. Do you go every week to celebrate recovery?
Right now I can't because I'm helping run an alpha course on Monday nights. So,
okay, Donnie, I want to back up a little bit.
Sure.
Now, you're talking about some of the victory you've had the last 90 days. Are there little hints you can give as to steps you're taking or things you're doing that can offer help and counsel to the people who might be listening? And I think I'll let you think about that.
Yeah,
we'll take a very short break. Should we do that, Alex? Do we have time to take a break or should we? Well, let's take a break.
Okay.
All right. We're going to take a very short break. When we come back, we better have good answers out of Donnie as we're giving him a minute to think about it. You're listening to Real Recovery. Bill Arnold and George Fraser, Alex on the board. We're having a great night. Thanks for being with us. Welcome back to Real Recovery, everyone. Thanks for joining us tonight. Very glad. Hope you're enjoying the hour. Bill Arnold, George Fraser, Alex on the board. You know, Jesus came to personally confront what was wrong in the world, George and Donnie. And when I heard that, I was very excited to do the research to find out what it was. And then I looked in the mirror and I realized my research was over because I'm the problem. I am the problem, George.
No argument over here.
I understand that. But it starts with us.
Taking
personal responsibility. And Donnie, our guest tonight, has had quite a colorful past, starting with a trip to Stanford University and then dropping out, opening up a restaurant, consuming lots of drugs. And
He was the bong buyer for the corporation.
The bong buyer for the record store. And then came to a profound decision to follow Jesus Christ. And then everything changed.
Pretty shocking testimony.
I think it's very shocking.
Isn't he amazing that he can save us? People like you and me, he can save us completely. That just still amazes me.
Look what it took, though, for us to get saved.
Yeah.
He had to leave heaven and go to a cross.
I think he argued with his dad. He goes, "Do you want me to go down and save those guys, Papa?" And he goes, "Yeah, you got to.
Yeah.
They need it." He's all about redemption, always has been. I read this book by Larry Crabb, and after Genesis, God said, "You know what? I knew you guys were going to mess up. I always had a redemption plan." He always had redemption. God always knew that, didn't he?
That Larry Crabb guy is smart.
I like him.
I've met him before. Not to name drop, but
was that at Billy Graham's barbecue, though?
Yeah, it was.
Huh. Chuck Colson was there,
I gave him
too,
a ride home, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Donnie, before we went to break, I asked you kind of a loaded question, which was, can you maybe share some of the initiative, some of the steps you've made, some of the thoughts that the Holy Spirit has brought into your brain to help you deal with some of the issues regarding lust and all of that?
Something like 90, 100 days ago, I've worked really hard at that part, and all of us men know about shame and guilt, and there just some freedom came, some new promises from God that I could trust him, and I began to speak to that I was an overcomer. And I spoke to the spirit of lust. I spoke to those spirits and said, "You have no authority in my life," because I believe those kind of things. And the Holy Spirit just said, "I'm going to give you purity today. Purity is more important, more precious, Donnie. It's worth fighting for, but it's going to take you some work. You're going to need some accountability partners. You need to pray every day. You're going to have to put up some things on your computer, some stop gaps to keep you from even going there." And the longer I walked, it got more contagious, it got more fun, it got more freeing, and it's almost like it doesn't exist now. And I say that with grace because I still need his help, but this is the most free I've ever been in that area of my life. Mm-hmm. So accountability, prayer, whatever it takes on your computers, your TV, anything you can do, make sure you have accountability partners and don't be afraid of it. Don't listen to the enemy when he wants to shame you. Walk in the victory that you have.
I really like that, Bill, for a couple reasons. Number one, here's a guy that has 33 years of sobriety, and gosh, we're not perfect. And number two, when I realize it and the Holy Spirit convicts me, I've got an action plan that I'm using every day. I need to do this every day. And so that's pretty impressive, and it's working.
What I think about the Holy Spirit, he always convicts with hope. Donnie, here's a new way to do it. The enemy shames us with condemnation, says, "You're a loser, you can't do this." Holy Spirit goes, "Donnie, I love you. Let me show you something new. That's a big difference the way those two things work. Does that like make that, sense?
It does.
Can I give you a verse here, Donnie?
Sure, I love verses.
I know you do. You're going to love this one then. Galatians 5:1 says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery."
He who the Son sets free is free indeed. My chains fell off. My chains of addiction fell off.
We're talking about the verse, though, that I just quoted.
This is all about me. What don't you get about
I don't get this. I mean, yeah. I'm trying to share, and you're hijacking the story. I don't know, George. You take over. I can't control this guy.
No.
He's all wound up, I love.
I love that fact, though, about there's an action plan that I can take that God wants me to take, and sitting around and beating myself up doesn't do anything positive.
We have two diseases. We want it all, and we want it now. Right?
You bet.
Now, tomorrow morning, I can get up and I can take a step. You can soak for 5 minutes tomorrow. I can pray for 5 minutes longer tomorrow. That addict who's been struggling with pornography or whatever can get up tomorrow and make one small change. He can take the first step. That makes sense?
It does. It does. I think the key to a successful walk is not stopping anything you're doing, but add to it. And I think so much, you know, we are addicted to more, but in our walk with Christ, we want to do less. That's my natural tendency, Donnie, is, okay, I'm good enough. I'm not. And as we grow along spiritual lines to be more Christ-like, he's going to let us see stuff that maybe didn't bother us 10 years ago. Maybe we were okay with. And I think that's where guys get into trouble. I see a lot of guys relapse, as I'm sure you do. They stop growing, pressing on towards the goal, as Paul said in, I believe, Philippians. We got to press on towards the goal. And it sounds like you're doing that just 90 days ago, a big life change.
Yeah. And I'm, like I said before, I dare to believe I simply want more. I want God to reveal more of himself to me than he's ever done before. It's such an exciting journey to get up tomorrow morning. Okay, God, I expect to hear from you today. Show me something new about who you are. But more importantly, show me more about who I am because of who you are. Show me about my identity. You know, most...
Sure.
There's two big lies. The first lie is God isn't any good. The second lie is we're not any good. God's wonderful, and so are we.
When I am with God, amazing things happen. And sometimes things happen in our lives to people that we love and care about. And that can unpeel another layer, can it?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you had any struggles in that area?
Yeah, I had a family member who's gone through some addictive processes. Really, really, really painful time for me.
Mm-hmm.
Some lessons I had to learn. I had to learn how to let go of him, how to detach and let him go. I had to quit enabling him. I had to trust God for him. We have this wonderful relationships now. We talk about recovery. We talk about Christ. He's not walking with Christ. But because I never gave up on him, we have a wonderful relationship. But, man, it hurts to have somebody that you love in addiction. Yeah.
I went to 7 funerals last year of guys that we worked with who OD'd and, you know, crashed their cars. And sometimes my tendency is to get mad. It's really a fear-based deal, I think. But God gave me some insight in that as sad and it breaks my heart, I do that to God when I walk out the barriers. Doesn't mean that I don't love these people and he doesn't love me. But there are consequences for our actions. And when you're on the other side of it, we get to see kind of what we did to people too. And you know, that's never on your radar when you're doing it. And it's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, I got really mad at him. Then I go, wait a minute, I'm going to be mad at his behaviors, but I can't be mad at him. He has this unsurpassable worth that God just loves him more than I ever could. That was a big step for me to separate him from his behaviors, and that was a major breakthrough. And we've had lots of fun now because of the relationship that I've kept alive because of who he is, not because of what he does.
Sure.
I get to go down to Faribault Prison once a month. I love talking to those guys about their addiction, where they are in their recovery. Same kind of thing. Just got to hope and pray for them.
Well, not only do you get to go down there, you get to get out of there every month. That's a big key.
That's the key.
Every time, well, Bill, I know you go to jails too and prisons. Every time I go in there, having been in jail myself, when that door shuts behind you, there's a sound. And I'm always grateful when I can leave. I never want to take that for granted that, you know, our freedom is, you know, just always going to be there. Because for me, it hasn't. And I'm glad you can go down and share the gospel with those guys.
I was visiting in a jail a month ago, and as I was leaving, they have little lockers in the lobby, and you put your keys and your wallet in there. And for some reason, I couldn't get my locker to open. And just, I'd already gotten out of the jail, but the fact of feeling trapped there created almost panic. It's like, I couldn't, and George, you're so right. Every time I go there, I can't wait to get out. And the fact that I was being stalled there was like creating this little anxiety. It's like, I just wanted to go home and sleep in my own bed and have my freedom. And I felt so bad for the guy I was visiting. But it's, you know, your point is so well taken, Donnie. And I think big changes can happen, but they're usually done by making consistent small decisions. So 5 more minutes tomorrow of soaking time or quiet time or prayer time can be a consistent small decision that can produce big changes.
We think practice makes perfect? No. Practice makes a discipline. That makes sense? You do something for 21 days, it becomes a discipline. You might not be perfect yet, but you're going to have a new discipline in your life. I never thought that I would journal as much as I do. I journal every day now. People want me to publish a book. Those kind of things. Discipline, something new each day.
I'll do the soak thing. I'm not doing the journal thing.
Yeah, I tried journaling. I went to a coffee shop. I ended up copying the guy's journal next to me. So, I mean, it's like...
I like that.
Not very helpful.
Next time you can steal some jokes from the guy next to you.
Here's another challenge. Here's another one of my favorite things to do. Don't ever leave a restaurant without blessing your waiter or your waitress. That makes sense? Okay, can I bless you tonight? Can I thank you? You should see the smile on their face. Mm. Simple thing. Mm. Take a risk.
Well, yeah, George, do you eat out ever?
I never eat at home.
You're just driving through places, aren't you?
Well, I get out of the car now.
You do?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
I like, they got a little playground in this one restaurant I go to that
with
I like.
The colored balls?
Yeah, there's a clown in there and stuff. It's fun. I like to go in there. Yeah. They give toys, too. I buy you dinner every week.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm not going to complain.
I'm not going to do that tonight just because of this. I know you have a speaking engagement anyway. I got a lot out of tonight, Donnie, and I want to thank you. Bill, it's caused me to look at some things I can improve. And I always want to make my walk better. I want to get my speech better, you know, so it's more glorifying. The lust problem I think every guy has, and going to a new recovery support group of Celebrate Recovery, we're going to get some information from you and put it on our website for people. I love that. And it sounds like that's a lot more inclusive than some of these segmented recovery groups, because I think it's hurts, habits, and hang-ups.
Right, which means anybody can go.
Anybody can go, and so that's exciting. Billy, any thoughts tonight?
Well, I love the fact that Donnie has shared so candidly, so passionately, and he has given us a lot to think about. And I love his idea of just asking God for His presence every day. I love that he says, "God, show up in my life," and He means it. I mean, he prays with a sense of expectancy. And that's very vital to me. That was very inspirational to be reminded to, yes, pray that way. Pray with a sense of expectancy because God wants to be involved in your life. And I think little things you can do. You can tell one person you're grateful for how they've helped you. I mean, when you help this friend who discipled you, you told him how much it meant to him. I think that was cool. You can call a friend and ask how they're doing. You can ask God to help you understand something in the Bible you don't understand. And be grateful for everything. Remember how much God loves you. He can cover all of your sin, your debts. He never leaves you or forsakes you. And he always wants to be with you. So thank you for listening to Real Recovery tonight. This is Bill Arnold with George Fraser and Alex. Donnie, you've been a great guest. I sure hope you join us next week. We'll be here, God willing. Good night, everyone. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.